So John chapter 4, verse... Oh, and just before I forget, Chris lent us a load of footballs. So thank you so much for that, Chris. The Galley restaurant did us a special deal as well. Can't forget to say thanks to all the different people that helped us out. Who else did we have? We had a couple other local businesses that gave us money, which was amazing. We had Stonebridge Restaurant even donated some money towards what we were doing. And we had lots of different help from lots. Even Domino's, I think, maybe did us a semi-special deal. I'm not sure it was that special, but they tried to do some kind of a deal. So that was great. We had their pizza anyway, and we were blessed with lots of different people. So let's go read John chapter 4, verse 4 to 18. This is talking about Jesus. He's out and about, just going around the countryside, doing a wee bit what we were doing, because we want to become more like Jesus. It said he had to go through a town called Samaria on his way. So he's going to a different place, and he had to go through this town. Eventually, he came to a Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the villages to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you, who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where could you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here and get water again." "Go and get your husband," Jesus said to her. She says, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You have certainly spoken the truth." And the woman recognized Jesus as a prophet. Here's a story. Normal kind of story that you might be out and about, meet someone in the shops or meet someone. In those days, it was go to the well. Maybe you go to the shop to buy your water, or you go to the shop to buy your groceries. And here you have Jesus, and he's just going day to day, visiting people, spending time with people, looking out for people. And this day, he comes along, and he sits by a well because he's tired. He's weary. He just wants to have a rest. The other disciples, they went into the village. They're getting some food. And he just sits there and he thinks, "Man, I'd love a drink. I'd really, really love a drink. I'd love something just to quench my thirst." There's nothing better than on a hot day to be able to get a nice, cool drink. And so Jesus sits beside this woman. And this is a strange thing because this woman is here alone. And normally the women back in those days would go to the well with lots of other women. That would be kind of a social gathering. They'd spend some time together. They'd go and get the water for the house. They'd go with their big jars on top of their heads. They'd go off, get the water, come back home. And in between times, they'd spend time talking about their families, talking about life, just talking about things like anybody else would do. But this woman, she's there by herself. And the one thing that the woman is surprised about is that Jesus would stop with her, because she recognizes who Jesus is. He's from a different culture. He's from a different background. And the culture and backgrounds are so different that they don't spend any time with each other. They don't tend to do anything together. They tend to spend time apart from each other. And I thought as I read this story this week that that's exactly our hearts for Armagh, is that we have went this week and we have met lots of you who are from different cultures, who are from different backgrounds, and it would be quite easy to just stay at our own families, to our own friends, but I believe this morning Jesus is showing us a really powerful example about how we're supposed to go and talk to everybody, anybody, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what language you speak, doesn't matter how you look, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter about your culture, doesn't matter about your backgrounds. The good news of Jesus is this, that he doesn't care about your culture or background, but he loves you. He loves absolutely everyone. And so this week we met lots of different people, and Jesus was out and about in the countryside and he met lots of different people, but this day he meets this woman and they talk about water. I want us to look at a few quick points this morning just to hopefully encourage us. Jesus was prepared to go to the other side, just as I was talking about just a moment ago. Jesus was prepared to go out. And I think that was one of the main points that John was sharing this morning, that we were willing to go out. And I think that's the main thing that God has called us to do here in Armagh, or hopefully he's maybe calling you to do the same, is that we have found such a hope in Jesus. We have found such a love in Jesus. We have found such forgiveness in Jesus that I believe, as well as the Bible tells us to go, but sometimes the Bible tells us to do something and then we don't tend to do it, but God has called us to go. And I believe this week our number one challenge was to go out into the community, to go out, to go out. And you can see from this story that Jesus wasn't in the church. He wasn't at home. He was out and about. The Bible tells us that Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head because he didn't even need a home. He was so busy. He would just get a bed here and a bed there, or he'd just sleep there or sleep here. He was busy going after treasure. He was busy going after people from all sorts of backgrounds, from all sorts of society, from all sorts of beliefs. Doesn't matter how you are. Doesn't matter how you look. He was interested in you. And Jesus is here this morning and he's saying the very same thing to us. If you're here and you're from lots of different backgrounds and lots of different cultures, Jesus loves you absolutely the same. Jesus was prepared to go to the other side. He was prepared to leave the comfort of, I guess, this lovely building and go to somewhere else. And I think God is saying to us this morning, we have to be prepared as Christians to go more and more and more, and to go and meet the people on the other sides, to go and meet the people on the outside. He didn't care about the church, didn't care about the culture, and he wasn't interested just to stick to his own friends. He wanted to keep going to reach other people. Jesus also didn't care who she was. It says in verse 9 that for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You know, the truth is, back in those days, Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. They absolutely hated each other because Jews were mad at Samaritans because they thought that God was for them too. And Jews felt that God was only for them, for nobody else. And so they hated them. They didn't like their good works. They didn't like the things that they did. They thought they were trying to steal their God. And so Jews and Samaritans, they just didn't mix. They didn't spend time together. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't meet with each other. And that's why the story is so powerful, because we could read it and just say, well, there was another person that Jesus met. What a great story. But no, this is a really powerful story because not many other people wanted to meet with these guys. His disciples, it says in a few verses later, were shocked that Jesus would stop and talk to this person, because that's not a person that we mix with. That's not a person that we talk to. And I think God is challenging us this week that we went to lots of different areas with lots of different people, with lots of different backgrounds, lots of different cultures. And I honestly believe we didn't really care who we spoke to. We just wanted to speak to people because we were trying to be like Jesus. We were trying to show his love. We were trying to show his unconditional love, no matter who you are or no matter what you are. She was an outcast. It's important to realize this. She was an outcast. Jesus told her about living water and this great water that he can give, but she was an outcast, and yet he was still prepared to show her love. He was still prepared to tell her about the things of heaven and the things of God, even though she'd had five husbands, and the person that she was with right now wasn't even her husband either. That just sounds like a crazy life. It was a crazy life. But we've all sinned, and we've all done wrong things, and we've all been to places we shouldn't. We've all done things that we shouldn't have. And so it's important to realize that although this woman was there, we're maybe not that far away. If it wasn't her, it could be us. Jesus is ready to reach out to the outcast. He's ready to reach out to the people in need. He's ready to reach out to the people who are in trouble. God loves us in spite of our bankrupt lives. I think this is really important to know. I think it's really important to know that Jesus, that God loves you in spite of the things that you've done wrong. God loves you in spite of the mistakes that you've made, in spite of the places you've been to. You know, I think it's really important to know this morning that we don't know the background to this woman's story. And it's very easy to make an assumption and very easy to say, well, she must have been a terrible woman. But sometimes life issues come along and it destroys us. Sometimes things come along that we weren't expecting and it sends our whole life in a turmoil, in a spin. And I believe we met people this week that almost through no fault of their own, crazy things happened. Just terrible things were done, terrible things were said, terrible things happened. And as a result, they just went on to make more mistake after more mistakes after more mistakes. Who hasn't made mistakes? We've all made mistakes. I think it's so important that we don't assume that just because that lady had five husbands and the person that she's with now is that she must be a terrible, terrible, terrible woman. It could be that a lot of those guys left her. It could be that she'd had terrible things happen in her life. She doesn't even know what the truth is. She doesn't even know what love is. And so maybe her chance of love is find another person that would love me. And maybe that would give me the love that I've never had. You just don't know what's in people's hearts. We just don't know the circumstances that people have been through. But Jesus said, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, I still love you. You're not an outcast to me. She was an immoral woman. She had many divorces. God says, in spite of your bankrupt lives, I still love you. You know, one of the best promises of God is this, that there's no condemnation in Jesus. That simply means that even when you've done wrong, he's not out to put you down. He's not out to press you down. He's not out to force you down. He's not out to make you feel a terrible person. Instead, he's out to tell you about his wonderful, wonderful goodness, his wonderful life. I think it's important to know from the story that Jesus met the woman first and told her about eternal life, told her about the water that he could give, told her about all the good things that he had in store for her, and then told her about the wrongs that she'd done. And yet, even when he told her about the wrongs that she'd done, she didn't seem to feel condemned. She didn't seem to feel cast down. She didn't seem to feel burdened. We're going to read in a few moments how it transformed her life. And I think there's a way to tell people truth in love, and then there's just a way to tell people truth. And it hurts, and it's painful, and it's harsh, and it's hard. And I think this morning we got to be very careful with the people that we meet, because we can be very hard sometimes. We can be very cruel sometimes, in even the looks that we give, even the things that we'd say, or even the comments that we would respond in. I think we have to realize, if we're Christians this morning, that we have been forgiven much. We have been forgiven much. The things that we have done wrong, even when we feel that we've never done that many wrong things, the things that we have done wrong in life, if God has forgiven us this morning, nobody else could have done that. There was no way else to get the forgiveness that we needed, only through Jesus. And so we have to be people that will show forgiveness, that will show love, that will show compassion, that will give the forgiveness that only God can give. It's important not to be too hard. It's important not to be too harsh. Jesus showed mercy. Jesus showed mercy. He showed mercy. And I'm encouraging us this morning, with the people that we meet, show mercy to people, because mercy is a wonderful thing. You show mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it. That's what mercy really means. To show love, to show grace, to show kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it. To show grace and mercy to someone who does deserve it, anybody could do that. To show mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it, it's being just like Jesus. It's the power and it's the love that he has given us. And of course, Jesus told this woman about the water that no one else can give, only him. Jesus wants to tell us this morning, and Jesus wants to tell you this morning, that he has life, and life abundant in him that nobody else can give. And you will not find it in relationships, any other than his relationship. You will not find it in a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a son or a daughter. You'll not find it, because people will always let you down. You'll not find it in possessions. You can have all the things in the world and still not be happy. You'll not find it in addictions, and yet sometimes that feels like it gives us some kind of short-term happiness. You'll not find it in drugs. You'll not find it in alcohol. You'll not find it in any of those things. They always take from you. They always take far more from you than they ever give to you. Jesus this morning says, I could give you water and you'd never thirst again. Jesus met with that lady and he said, you remember the story? It says in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst again. What was God really talking about there? What was Jesus really talking about? Of course, we're always going to have to drink. Drinking is very important. To drink water is incredibly important. Jesus was talking about something spiritual. He was talking about something much bigger. He was saying to this woman, I know the condemnation that you felt. I know that your sins, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know the things that you've done are wrong. You know that people know that things are wrong. She should have been there with a whole lot of people, but nobody wanted to be with her because she was an immoral woman. No one wanted to be. No one's reputation wanted to be tarnished by hanging out with this person. And yet Jesus walks straight up to her and he says, I'd love a drink. And almost, I'd love you to bless me with something. Nobody ever wanted her to bless them with anything, because she was almost like a leper. Stay away from her. She's an outcast. Nobody wants to know her. Jesus wanted to spend time with her. Jesus is saying this morning that it's not about a glass of water that we'll take down and we'll feel less thirst and then we'll need another glass tomorrow. It's about spiritual things. Jesus is saying this morning to us, if you would come to me with all of your brokenness or with all of what you have, all of the weaknesses all of the shame at times that you felt, all of the sins, all of the brokenness, all of the things that would cast you down and make you feel like you're not good enough. If we would come with those things to him, Jesus says, I will take them on board of me. I will forgive you. I will set you free, and I will give you a brand new start. This is the water that Jesus was talking about this morning. And I wonder, just as we're coming to our final few minutes, I wonder who we are in the story this morning. I wonder, do we find ourselves as the woman? Or maybe you're like the man, or you're the woman who's at the well and nobody wants to be around you. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes. Maybe you're here and you're feeling broken. Maybe you're here this morning, and this story, you might not be identical to this story, but you can find yourself there. You can find yourself, and you think to yourself, man, I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I've got divorced, or I've done this, or I've done that. I've been in trouble. I'm maybe still in trouble. People have walked away from me. People don't want to spend time with me. People don't want to know me because of the decisions and the choices that I've made. I'm full of regrets this morning. Maybe you're here and you're full of regrets. There's nothing worse than regrets. They just continue to pull you down and condemn you and push you under. Full of regrets. Maybe you're here this morning and you're full of pains because of people that you've lost, because of things that have been done, because of hurts that have been wronged on you, because of the way people have wronged you in the past. Maybe you're here because of bad choices. We make bad choices. Jesus was very clear. He told her the truth. He told her the truth of where she was. He says, look, you've been with 5 different husbands, and the person that you're with is not even your husband. He told her her sins, but he told her about his amazing grace, his amazing love. He wasn't just going to leave her there and tell her about all the wrongs that she'd done without any hope. He told her the hope first, and then he revealed the truth to her so that she could realize that she needed that hope too. And maybe we're here this morning, and we've always known that we've been wrong, but we've never heard a message of hope before. Then this morning, I hope that you're hearing about Jesus, who will give you the hope that you need. And maybe you've never realized the wrongs you've done before, and you thought you were fine as you were going along. You thought everything was good and everything was great. But I want to assure you this morning that Jesus knows all of our hearts. He knows every single mistake that we've made, and we need to receive that hope that he has given by defeating sin on the cross. We need to receive that into our hearts. Otherwise, we're not changed. Otherwise, we'll never be transformed. And so I wonder who we are this morning in the story. Are we the woman? Are we the man at the well? Or are we Jesus, who knows who Jesus is, who has received forgiveness in our hearts, who's prepared to go to the other side and meet people and talk to people and not be ashamed to talk to this person or not be embarrassed to talk to this person or forgetting about our reputation in case someone might see us and say, wow, what are you hanging around a woman like that for? What are you hanging around a guy like that for? She's not from your culture. She's not from your background. She's done terrible things. She's made terrible mistakes. Jesus was not interested. He was far more interested in reaching the lost rather than worrying about all that he had gained. He had come to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to look for well people. The Bible tells us that Jesus didn't come to look for people that were perfect. He didn't come to look for people that were better and were in full health. He came to look for people that were sick. He came to look for people who were in need. He came to look for broken people so he could tell them about the wonderful news of the Father, the wonderful news of heaven. I wonder this morning, if she met us, what would happen? We're about to read our final few verses of what happened, the impact when Jesus met this person. Every person that Jesus met, there was always an impact. But I wonder, just for a quick challenge in our hearts this morning, especially if you're a Christian this morning, I wonder how we would respond if we had met a woman like that. I wonder how we have responded maybe this week to people that we have met who we have felt, well, they don't know God. They're not as good as me, which seems like a wrong term, but they haven't got what I have. I wonder what our response was to those people. And I want to encourage you and challenge you. Would our effect have been a positive one or a negative one? Would our effect have given them life? Would we have told them about the life in Jesus that we have? Or would we have said, hey, we'll try harder, try better, and go on along? Or would we just try to avoid them? You know, sometimes we see certain people or we see certain things and we try to avoid them because I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to get tied down with that. I don't want to be connected to that. So we walk past quickly. Jesus was tired and he was weary. He should have just went down and just had a sleep somewhere because he was not in top form to go speak to someone. But he was tired and he was weary. But in spite of all that, he was still far more interested in this woman. He was still far more interested in this woman than almost even having a sleep or almost having a rest. Even when he wasn't on top form in terms of energy and feeling really full of vitality because he'd had a full meal, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was tired. And even in that state, even in that situation, he still wanted so much to reach out to people around him. I want to encourage us this morning, especially if we know Jesus, especially if Jesus lives in our heart, especially if Jesus has forgiven our sins, that we would reach out to people around us, that we would show the love of God, and it would be the love of God that would cause people to repent. It would be the love of God that would cause people to turn around in their lives. It would be the love of God that would turn around, people would say, I want what you have, because the love that you have is so much greater than the love I've ever felt from anybody else. We met a lady this week, just to tell you a quick story. Met a lady this week in one of the states that we went to, and she challenged us. She said, I've had lots of different Christians coming around about, but they're putting lots of different leaflets and flyers through my door. But she says, what I really need is for somebody to stop and talk to me. What I really need is for someone to come in and talk to me. And she says, now I realize there's going to be plenty of people, especially even in this estate, that you would knock their doors and they would say, just leave me alone, not interested. But she says, trust me, if there's me that would love to talk to you, there has to be more. And we sat there thinking, oh my goodness, we are here to tell people about a great news of Jesus. We have heard, we know Jesus. He has given us this power. The Bible tells us that if you know Jesus, he's given you a power. He lives inside of you. He gives you fresh energy. He gives you fresh encouragement. And we're here almost getting the telling off from someone who doesn't know God, saying, I wish you'd have come sooner. I wish you'd have come and told me about God sooner. I wanted more than just leaflets. I want to encourage you this morning. People are looking for more than just leaflets. Could you imagine if, and there's nothing wrong with a leaflet. Let's not get that messed up. There's nothing wrong with giving someone a Bible. There's nothing wrong with giving someone a leaflet. But people love to talk as well. Could you imagine if Jesus turned up to the well and just left a leaflet behind as he walked away? You know, it would have been good, but it might not have, he could have done something better. And of course, that's what he did. Imagine we go and met a whole load of people this week, and instead of taking time to pray with any or speak to anybody, we just leave them a leaflet and move on. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's more that we can do. There's better. We ended up praying with that woman. She says, I don't want to know about God. God is, you know, not let me down, but just feel like God doesn't want to speak to me anymore. So we prayed with her, and we encouraged her that maybe God has spoken to her through us, and the reason that we came was because God had called us to go to her. And at the end of it, we prayed with her. We went back and met her a few days later, and she didn't really want to talk to us. She was like, oh, my house is messy. I don't want to talk to you. But we ended up talking for an hour in the door because she did really want to talk. You know, sometimes people do really want to talk, but they're initially standoffish because they're worried about how you would feel. They're worried about, oh, I'm taking up your time. We don't care. We were there for the whole week. We wanted our time to be taken up. You know what she ended up telling us after about an hour talking to her in the door? She says, you remember my arm that I said will never get better? She says, I went to the shops the other day and my arm was totally better. She didn't want to say that she'd been healed. She didn't want to say that God had done it, but she knew something had happened. She knew that something had taken place. She said, you know the other thing? She says, and I know this has nothing to do with God. And she was talking like this, but she says, you know the other thing was, we saw on Tuesday, the whole of Wednesday, there was just a lovely atmosphere in my home. There was just a love. I never felt this peace in such a long time. And I hadn't felt like this in such a long time. And we just smiled. And she wanted us the whole time to say, oh, you see, God is good. He's amazing. She wanted us to say that so then she could kind of swipe it away. And we just left and said, we're finally going. We're just like, hey, isn't it good that we can pray about things? And she was like, yeah. And just a lovely encounter with someone that was initially resistant, but really wanted to know more. And I want to encourage us this week, especially if we know God and God has changed our hearts and he has challenged us and he's forgiven us, to go and speak to some people. And maybe initially they're not interested because they're worried about your time or they're worried about themselves or they're worried about this and that. But maybe spend a few more extra minutes and it could talk and you could speak to people and it could transform their lives by telling them about Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to bring life instead of judgment. Jesus wants to see people restored. I want to read you the last couple of verses in this story just to encourage you. It says in verse 39, I'm going to read from verse 39 in John chapter 4. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritan had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed two more days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed Jesus. We know indeed that he is the Savior of the world. Here was Jesus. He met someone by a well who had done a lot of terrible things, who he could have quite easily just moved on by, but instead he spent some time, he talked to her, and he showed her forgiveness. As a result, she went back to her town, to her community, to her people, and said, I met a man that changed my life. I met a group of people that changed my life this week. I met a group of people that came and they told me about this man called Jesus. He has done something in my heart. I think he might be able to do something in your heart. Guys, never underestimate the effect that it could have as we would talk to one person and the effect that that could have on many other people. Even if we're not telling them, the person that we have chatted to, they could be the one that told them. She went back to her community, these Samaritans who were never welcomed by Jews, these Samaritans who thought that Jews didn't like them, who Jews that hated them. Jesus proved that not all Jews hated them. Jesus proved that not all people were not interested in them. He wanted to go and meet with the people that nobody else wanted to meet with. Jesus went, he chatted to one woman. She went, affected her community. Jesus spent another 2 days in the community. Many, many, many people came to know the Lord. That is our heart for Armagh. Our heart for Armagh is that we're going to be here for a long time. Our heart for Armagh is that we're going to see the whole place just overflowing. Our hearts for Armagh is that we're going to see lots of people come to know the Lord. Our hearts this morning is if you're here and you don't know Jesus, that you would come to know him as your friend, that you would come to know him as your Savior, that he would set you free from the things of the past, and as the Bible says, he would give you a brand new start. That is our hearts for Armagh. Our hearts is that we want to love people, even when it's very hard to love them because of the things they've done. Because you know why? Because Jesus has put an unconditional love inside of our hearts. And the other thing is, if we looked in the mirror, we're pretty hard to love too. We're pretty hard to love too. Because the mistakes that we have done, the things that we say, the way that we react, we are pretty hard to love too. Just ask somebody beside you, they'll tell you. We are pretty hard to love. But Jesus says, I love you in spite of all that because my love is unconditional. My love is pure. My love is awesome. My love is life-changing. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to encourage you this. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, then I want to tell you this. Jesus loves you. Jesus came and he died for you. Jesus came because there was no other way out. There was no other way out. Imagine you're just locked in a room and it's never going to change. There's no key in sight. You couldn't even find the key if you wanted because the lights are all switched off. There is no key in the room. There's just no key in the room. So it's impossible to get out. And Jesus is here this morning. He's saying, I will come to the door. If you'll knock the door, I will come to the door and I'll unlock that door. I will set you free. I will unlock the things of the past. I will forgive you from the things of the past. And I will give you a brand new start. We're going to pray in a moment. And if you would like us to pray for you, then all we're simply going to do is we close our eyes. We're going to say, just lift up your hand. And if you're brave enough to do that, and we will pray for you. And if not, come to us afterwards and say, hey, I'd love you to pray with me because I need whatever you have. I don't fully understand it yet. Jesus said, you don't have to fully understand it. Come to me. Come to me, and I will reveal myself to you. Just put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in him, and he can transform you. Let's close your eyes this morning. As we come to a finish. Let's close your eyes. Lord, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your unconditional love, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when we don't have any hope, you have hope that abounds. Lord, I thank you when we're hopeless, there's always hope in Jesus. Lord, I thank you this morning that we are not looking to try and find a whole lot of things in ourselves because we know ourselves we're not good enough. But instead, Lord, you have come into our hearts and you have transformed us and your presence lives in us. Lord, it's what makes us different. It's what sets us apart. It's the love of Jesus on our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's any people here that would like to know you and would like you to come into their hearts and forgive them of their sins and give them that brand new start that they need, that are willing to put their trust in you, that, Lord, that you would give them bravery and confidence in just a few moments to lift up their hand as we would pray, or to come afterwards and say, hey, I really would love you to pray with me. Lord, would you give some people confidence and boldness to do that? And if you're here this morning and you're feeling just, oh, I really would love to, then know this, God loves you with an everlasting love, and his deep desire is that you would come to know him because he's always loved you. And so as we're praying, is there anybody this morning that would love us to pray for them, to receive Jesus into their hearts? If you're here this morning, all you simply need to do is lift up your hand. That allows us to know that we're praying for you, and then we're going to believe together that Jesus would do something in your heart as wonderful as he's done in ours. Is there anybody here this morning that would love to receive Jesus into their hearts? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just one last time, and then we're going to pray. And if not, if If you're not feeling brave enough or you want to ask more questions, then we'd love to talk to you afterwards. Anybody else or anyone would like to raise their hand this morning? If you'd like to, you can just do it very quickly. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for every heart and for every life this morning. We thank you, Lord, that there is no pressure in receiving you. Instead, when the time is right, Lord, and when we feel that we need you, then we come to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if we don't know you this morning, that we have felt something different. I pray, Lord, that if we don't know you this morning, that we have found an unconditional love and we have felt a presence in this place that cannot be described other than it has to be God. Lord, I pray that if we're in a journey to find you and we're not sure who you are yet, that, Lord, the rest of us could be a help to encourage you to know Jesus better and that you would continue, Lord, to reveal yourself to those people. Lord, I pray this week that you would go with us. Lord, I pray this week that we would look out for the people by the wells, Lord, that we would look out for the people in the shopping centers, in the bus stops, Lord, in the buses, Lord, in the trains, wherever we'd happen to be, in the workplaces, Lord, that we would look out for people that maybe are just on their own, that are maybe just spending time on their own, and we would go over and we would talk to them. We would tell them about God. We would tell them about what God has done in our hearts. We would simply show them love. Lord, I pray that that would be all of our hearts, to go and show love to every person that we've met. I thank you, Lord, for a wonderful week in our outreach, Lord. I thank you for a wonderful week, even for the weather being absolutely fantastic. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I give you praise this morning for every heart and for every life that is here. I thank you so much, Lord, for a lot of the guys that have come this morning because we went to them and we showed them such great love. I thank you, Lord, that we want nothing more from them other than to come and to feel blessed in this place. I thank you, Lord, that there is no strings, Lord, that we just love people to come along and to receive and to feel God's great love and his presence. Lord, I thank you that you have been here this morning. I pray as we would go, that you would go with us. And Lord, this morning, you would encourage and lift all of us up. And if we're here this morning and we are feeling a weariness, Lord, and we're feeling a brokenness, even right now, Lord, can we give that to you? Even right now, Lord Jesus, would you lift us up in spite of our pain and in our worries, and would you replace all of that pain and worry with joy and peace? Lord, I thank you that one of the glorious names of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I ask you, Lord, that your peace would reign in this place. Lord, we love you and we worship you.